The views and opinions expressed here are those of the guests, and are not the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The Mormon Channel presents Into All the World.
The vision will begin to be fulfilled.
Our membership is found throughout the world.
The New Zealanders and the Australians.
Sono felice di servire il Signore.
Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, Burma.
5 new temples.
Ne kupitia kwa imani.
Go into all the world.
Welcome to Into All the World, where we discuss mission work around the world. I'm Tim Taggart, and joining me in the studio today are President Kent and Joyce Seal, who have recently returned from the Oklahoma Tulsa Mission. Welcome. Thank you for being with us in the studio
today.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Now, you returned about 6 months ago from your mission. And tell us a little bit, before we begin, about your background, your experience, and your family, if you would.
All right. I'll talk about myself first, and my wife can talk about our family and our children. I grew up in Midvale, Utah, went to Hillcrest High School, then attended Brigham Young University. I went on a mission to North Germany when I was 19 and served in the North German mission with two mission presidents. My last companion was Elder Stephen Snow of the 70, and got home and graduated from BYU. That's where I met my sweetheart, and then I attended Georgetown Dental School, and so I graduated in 1977 as a dentist. And then we moved to Sandy, Utah, and had the privilege of serving as a counselor in a bishopric, as a bishop, and then young men's president, and then on a high council, and then as a counselor to a stake president, and then a stake president. I was 18 years in a stake presidency, and then was released, and about a year later was called to preside over the mission.
Great.
All right. Let's see. What does that leave? We have 10 children. We had 3 while he was in dental school, so we made some kind of a record there. During the time we were on our mission, we added 8 grandchildren. We had 7 before we left. Let's see what else. I grew up in Rexburg, Idaho. Mm-hmm. My father taught at Ricks College. He was head of the music department for several years there. So we met my junior year, his senior year at BYU. I served in a lot of wonderful callings in the church as well and loved every one of them. I think serving as mission president's wife was the most demanding of any of them. And the most wonderful, too. We loved it.
They say this is a 24/7 calling, but you don't realize till you get out there that it's literally 24/7. It's a great experience, though, I'm sure. So your children, are they scattered around the country? Are they mostly
They're mostly in Utah. Mm-hmm. Our daughter is living in Detroit, Michigan right now. Her husband graduated from medical school, so he's doing a residency now in orthopedics, and they have 6 children, so they're a busy little family there, but the rest are all nearby.
So you missed the grandkids while you were gone, but I'm sure that they were engaged in their prayers for you and enjoying your mission experiences too.
One of the blessings, actually, of having a mission that was close by, and to tell you the truth, that's not what we wanted. We wanted something far away and exotic. But one of the blessings was they were able to come visit, and it all fit together. Our mission family and our own little nuclear family, it fit together beautifully. We had wonderful visits from our children. So,
one of the great blessings to the missionaries, too, is to see a functioning family, to see a husband and wife who love each other, married, sealed in the temple, and engaged in church activity. Because didn't you find many of your missionaries didn't have that in the homes that they came from, and that was an important part of your example to them, was just being a couple engaged in the gospel?
It actually was surprising to me how many didn't have a father and mother in the home, had broken homes or had divorce situations or whatever it might be. They had maybe one parent that was a member of the church and one that wasn't. And we had several comments from missionaries about how they looked at us and watched the way we treated each other,
and
the way we interacted with our family. And so we knew it was like living in a fishbowl in some ways. You know that the eyes of the missionaries and everyone are on you, and that they need that example of just a couple that loves each other and that loves their family and that's trying to live the gospel.
Yeah.
And they also see the imperfections and and realize that there aren't perfect families.
But it gives them something that they look forward to and begin to imagine themselves in those roles. I know President Packer said once, you can judge your performance as a mission president wife by whether or not your missionary's grandchildren are married in the temple.
We've told our missionaries to remember that and that they'd better shape up and do what they're supposed to do.
Told them to hurry home and get married so they can I can see these grandchildren.
Oh, that's great. Well, as you look back on your mission experience, what are some of the feelings you had as you began your mission as a missionary couple? And what are some of the joys and intrepidations you felt as you engaged in that?
Well, first of all, as we were in the MTC around all the other mission presidents and their wives, I know that we kind of felt like, who am I being in this group of great men and women? I felt very inadequate. I felt very unprepared. No matter how hard you prepare, you feel unprepared. But knowing that the Lord will make up the difference. And I think it was a little bit different for me when we actually arrived in the mission than what I thought it might be. And I think because the only experience you have is from your own mission, and that was a different area. It was in Germany and not in Oklahoma and Missouri and Kansas and Arkansas. So, you're always, I know we were always trying to improve ourselves, and we were trying to try to be a better example and trying to not be a hindrance. I know that we have had seven of our children serve missions, and they all loved their mission presidents and their wives. And so thinking that we had that role was very humbling for us.
A bit intimidating.
Yes.
What was your experience as you met the missionaries the first time and looked forward to these 3 years that you were going to spend with them?
Can I answer that first? We got to meet just a small group of our missionaries in the MTC. They were going out just before we did. And so they told us that we'd be going in and meeting the missionaries and maybe teaching them a little bit. And I remember being scared to death. So we went and found them in this little room. And there were how many? 16?
17.
It was a large group that was going out. And as we sat there with them, I think we were petrified. And it was later that we found out that they were petrified, too, that they felt very intimidated, and we were feeling very intimidated also. So it was an interesting experience. Shortly after we got out, we had a special zone conference, or a series of them. Uh-huh. We had to always have 6 zone conferences to work through all the areas in the mission. And it was intimidating but exciting to go and meet each group of missionaries. I don't know if there's ever a feeling like that. You go out and you see these missionaries who are so enhanced because of the Holy Ghost and because of what they're doing. And you know you're replacing a mission president they love and that they probably really don't want you there. So there was a lot of intimidation there as well. But we appreciated the president before us. He had taught the missionaries the importance of praying for us and praying to love us. And so when we went out, there were several missionaries who said, we loved you as soon as you came, because that's what we were preparing to do. And we needed that love and that support so desperately, because it's such a huge calling.
Yeah.
You feel the weight of the responsibility of helping all those missionaries to find God's children and bring them into the gospel.
Yeah.
Well, after we'd spent just a few minutes with the former president, they backed out. And when you're set apart, you're told that that will take effect when you arrive and not beforehand. And I can testify that I literally felt that mantle go on my shoulders. And then about an hour later, there was a missionary that called with health concerns. And of course, that was my wife's great job. So I thought, oh, good, I can turn it over to her. And then another missionary with health concerns. And then that evening, his own leader called. One of my missionaries had run away. And I thought, oh, boy. But it was it anyway. It was good to get started.
And it's fun for the other mission president to say, well, president, you know, what would you like me to do?
That's right.
You know, one of the great miracles of this kingdom is the transition of power, you know, and change. Because in the world, it's always challenging, political, and difficult. But in the kingdom, it's miraculous. You know, as you go in, that mantle, you know, the only mantle really spoken of in the scriptures is the mantle of charity and love. And that feeling, I'm sure that you felt, of just overwhelming love for those missionaries.
Absolutely.
But on the other side, the fact that the Lord would allow them to change their allegiance to someone that they've been so close to and committed to, and to have that change occur so naturally, and to have them love you in such a short amount of time, to me is miraculous.
It is.
And you see the results of that in the work as you go forward and love the missionaries, and they love you, and you work together.
Well, and you were talking about the mantle that comes upon you in a calling. I remember when my husband was set apart by Elder Hales, that he said to him, your pipeline to the divine will be the shortest it's ever been.
Yeah.
And you go out, and that first little while you stare at the transfer board as you're trying to decide what missionary will be placed with what missionary. And the first couple of times that was quite daunting for my husband. But it was interesting as I watched over the course of time how what Elder Hales said was so true, that those transfers would be made and he would be able to look at a missionary and know that this was the companion that he or she would be serving with next. And then to find out afterwards that there were specific reasons why they really should be together or why they should be in that specific area. Just it's, and you see miracles like that in missionary work every day.
Have you had a couple of those type of experiences that come to mind that you could share?
Yes. When a new missionary would arrive, I'll start there first. And you get a group of anywhere from 6 to 18. And you don't have a long time to be with them. And I was, every time we'd have a testimony meeting the night before they would leave, and the Lord made it known each time a name, I would have a list of the trainers, and it would just, that name would go, that elder should be, or that sister should be. Sometimes it would come sooner, but I never doubted that the Lord knew. I didn't have a clue. And I was amazed how during this time, even the assistants would also get a clue. And sometimes they would say, oh, I figured that's where they would go. And I had a missionary, just one quick example. The Lord transferred him to the Tulsa East Stake, and he'd been there one transfer. And I was doing transfers again, and the Spirit said, move him to the Tulsa Stake. And I thought, what? He just got there. But I've learned that when the Spirit says, so I did it. Come to find out that the branch had been fasting for a pianist, and he was the only young man who played the piano very well. And he was transferred in just in time for their Christmas program and all the different things they were praying for. And he was actually out tracting and tracked into his uncle, who lived in that Skiatook area. So that was just one of many experiences where the Lord had a great new. I didn't know, but the Lord knew.
And you just go along with the program, and it's unfolded as time goes.
Right.
You know, that why. And sometimes you never find out why, but so you know what to do. That's
true.
Marvelous. talk to us a little bit about the mission area and the stakes and wards. Did you have any districts or branches?
Fortunately, we did not have any districts or branches. We had nine stakes. The nine stake presidents and presidencies were amazing men. We were both impressed with each one. They've become good friends over the 3 years that we were able to serve with them. We miss them as much as we do our missionaries.
Yeah.
And we covered the eastern part of Oklahoma. We had two stakes, the Tulsa and Tulsa East stakes. Then we had Northwest Arkansas, so we had Rogers, Springdale, and Fort Smith stakes. Mm-hmm. And then we went into Missouri, and we had the Joplin, Springfield, Springfield South, and the St. Robert stakes. And so we extended from Tulsa to the east. We went to Rolla, which was about 40 minutes from St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Three stakes went to the St. Louis Temple, and six stakes went to the Oklahoma City Temple. So there was not a temple in our mission area. That's the one thing we truly missed and would have loved to have taken missionaries to the temple, but we could not do that in our mission.
Mm-hmm.
We had about 98 units. We had about 175 missionaries. We had around 80 companionships spread out, in the varying places. Some of our missionaries had a branch and a ward, but most of them just had one unit to work with most of the time.
That's great. The program you're listening to is Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. I'm Tim Taggart, and joining me in the studio today are President Kent and Joyce Seal, who have recently returned from serving in the Oklahoma Tulsa Mission. And we so appreciate being able to visit today. As you think about the missionary work and the people that you're working with, what's the main way that the missionaries have of finding people to teach?
Well, the missionaries, Elder Ballard asked the missionaries to talk to 10 people every day. And we called them OTMs, just like for the Oklahoma Tulsa Mission, but we said, open thy mouth.
Uh-huh.
And the missionaries, as they would go out and just an unplanned, as they'd see them on the street. So this wasn't tracting. This was not visiting members or less active members, but just initiating that contact with people. That did help find new investigators. We also asked missionaries to focus on part member families and less active families because they would have family members or they would have friends that could refer. And I think in our mission, we probably had 90% of our baptisms came from a member-related, so they had a support group already. So members are very, very important.
Well, we tried to stress that a lot in the mission.
Mm-hmm.
Member missionary work is crucial. We know that from statistics. And so that was something that we tried to talk in the various stakes about and tried to encourage and tried to do ourselves.
And it has an impact also on retention, on their staying
absolutely.
Active
Definitely.
In the church, having
Definitely.
A friend. Do you have any experiences that come to mind with conversion stories or members that helped with the work?
We had a young woman who had come in contact with the church and had been interested. She had a boyfriend who was a member of the church, and he was killed in a tragic accident. Mm-hmm. She ended up meeting his family and learning about the gospel more through them. And so she began studying and coming to church. And I had the wonderful opportunity, because she was going to a ward in our building there, to talk with her on occasion and to help fellowship her. I remember one time when the missionaries were very concerned because she was having a struggle believing that Joseph Smith could have been a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And so she talked to me and asked if she could come over, if we could visit together. So she came over one Sunday evening, and I had an amazing experience, as happens so many times as a missionary, that as she expressed to me that she didn't know if Joseph Smith was a prophet. I just said, oh, Lindsay, I know Joseph Smith was a prophet. And as soon as I said that, all these thoughts just flooded my mind. And we read from Joseph Smith's history, and we looked at some articles from the Ensign, and I just bore witness to her that I knew he was a prophet, and I knew the church was true. And it was so exciting that a short time after that, she ended up getting baptized, and I got to speak at her baptism. But that was one of many highlights of our mission.
Yeah. And it's all personal, you know.
Very.
Because you feel it so closely. Again, you love people, but you see the change in their lives, but it causes changes in yours as well.
Oh,
the Spirit works
so
on
true.
Us both.
That's so true. You go into the mission field feeling that you have a testimony of the gospel that's very strong, but there's something about a mission that just makes you want so badly to share that testimony with others and to let them have the same joy you have and to help them understand who they are, where they came from. It was fun to see people discover through the Holy Ghost that they were children of a Heavenly Father that loved them very personally. And to just see how that changed the way they viewed themselves and how it brought joy to their lives. There's just nothing like it.
Exactly.
The missionaries in our home, in the home ward, where we had two children with us, and so we tried to at least two Sundays a month stay at our home ward, and then two Sundays a month we'd be gone. And the missionaries tracked it into a family and started teaching. And this was grandparents with some younger, their grandchildren that they were raising. And their marriage was struggling and their family was struggling. And they were trying to find something. And the missionaries, first of all, had the young man who at the time was about 14, and he was baptized. And then the grandfather, finally, we in our mission, the biggest challenge is overcoming tobacco and also getting married. That
were
the two major things all over the world. But he finally quit tobacco, and so he was baptized, and his granddaughter were baptized at the same time. But his wife, she would come to church, but she was really struggling, Sharon, and we got to know them, and one of the office couples kind of adopted them, and they would have them over to dinner, and they would visit them, and they would teach them and show them church videos, and the missionaries, of course, would go over and teach, and this went on for a period of time. We were, of course, leaving the end of June, and Sharon finally came to me at church and asked me to give her a blessing to stop smoking because she said, I want to be baptized before you leave. And so we had the opportunity to go into the bishop's office after church one Sunday and give her a blessing. Well, fortunately, she heeded the counsel in that blessing, and she did stop the tobacco habit. And the great blessing that I had is she asked me to perform the baptism. So about 3 or 4 days before we left, I had the opportunity, just like a missionary, to baptize. And great experience for me. And it was one of those tender mercies of the Lord. And to kind of have our mission come to an end that way. And my wife is very sweet to continue to call her and talk to her. We call them at least once or twice a month. And they're preparing themselves right now to go to the Oklahoma City Temple and this summer to be sealed. So we're looking forward to having that opportunity to go with them. But it's experiences like this that you'll never forget.
Yeah. And that is one of the blessings of serving domestically is the ability to follow up
exactly.
And to see again so many of the converts and sometimes to go to the temple with them and be a part of their children's gospel life and that other sort of thing as well as the missionaries.
So true.
That's a great experience. There are so many dividends that you have of the Spirit in the mission field. As you saw the missionaries come in to the mission as young missionaries and then saw them leave What are some of the experiences that you had seeing the missionaries grow?
You know, from that initial interview of asking the question, why are you here? And then the final interview of how do you feel now that your mission is coming to an end? It's a wonderful transformation. I think the biggest challenge that the missionaries faced when they first arrived is they did not see their true potential. They couldn't see that with the power and of the Holy Ghost and just by them being obedient, that they had such potential to do and to become. Some of the missionaries' self-esteem was very low, and they've struggled with various things throughout their lives. And for the first time in their life, I saw missionaries succeed in things that they had never succeeded in before, whether it's to learn a language. We had Spanish, Marshallese, and English in our mission, and see them grow in that way. We had missionaries that were challenged just to talk to people. The biggest fear was just opening their mouth and see that they could go from that to they couldn't let someone walk by without talking to them and sharing the gospel, not because they wanted to have a number of a baptism, but because they loved them and they wanted to share what was going to help them return to live in the presence of God. And that was very fulfilling. And to see how the Lord would call them to a certain area to serve with a certain companion, and how they would help each other. Sometimes they would help each other, or one would help the other, and then the other would help someone else later on. And then also to see them to receive leadership callings, to be a district leader or a trainer, which trainer, by the way, is the most important, I thought, or a zone leader or whatever. There are a number of missionaries that could be all the assistants. You only need a couple at a time, though. But amazing to see how they could take that. And then I tried to help them realize that when you went home, you could do anything. If you could do it as a missionary, you can do it for the rest of your life. So that was very, very satisfying. Of course, there's always a few missionaries that don't ever reach their true potential, but they do improve, mm-hmm. and they do get better. Yeah. And so that's very satisfying. And it's been fun since we've, even on the mission, have missionaries call back, as you would call them. One of the things that we try to do, my wife and I, is to call our missionaries on their birthdays, mm-hmm. so that we have a yearly contact. And uh-huh. so we started that even as those missionaries would go home. And so we were still out in the field. But it's been good for us to have that contact so that we can still remember their names, mm-hmm. and try to remember who their wife is, and then to try to see how they continue to grow. I would say a huge majority of the missionaries are doing wonderfully.
Yeah. And it's part of the miracle of the gospel, because this same experience is multiplied in the local wards as people, right. Begin to discover their potential, and the power of the Spirit to lift a person's vision and to empower them to become something that they never dreamed. It's one of the great miracles that's occurring all over the world.
It is.
I'm sure you saw it in those missionaries as they grew during that time.
I saw that in bishops. Mm-hmm. I saw that in ward mission leaders. The stake presidents were pretty much on board.
Yeah.
But I even saw a few stake presidents get more involved with the missionary program of the church. And so I actually saw members improve and change and things happen. There's one bishop up in St. Robert that he called me one day and he said, "How many people have been baptized in one ward in 1 year?" And I had to do a little bit of searching and gave him the number. And he said, "Our ward's going to beat that this year." And he did.
Wow.
It's just interesting how they, as you say, they take it personally.
Yeah.
And they get very involved. And it's not so much just about the baptisms again, but they want to grow their ward, their branch, and they want to bring people to Christ and enlarge their family.
Well, there's so many miracles that are possible, and the Lord's willing. He's just waiting for us to get engaged with Him for them to happen.
Exactly.
And He loves all of His children, and He knows them. And in many cases, those investigators and the friends of members are really waiting for an opportunity to have willing members and willing missionaries and spiritual ones to be able to come into the gospel.
That's true.
Yeah, it's great to be a part of that that whole experience.
It is.
Are there any experiences that you saw where members that were converted into the gospel, you were able to see their growth in the kingdom after their baptism?
We had. For us, it was great in our ward. We spent a lot of time there. Some mission presidents don't, but because we had children, mm-hmm. we tried to go to the same ward almost every week. And so we actually had several experiences like that. One that comes to mind is a man that kind of came on his own to learn about the gospel. He'd been introduced to it and hadn't felt at that time he really needed it, and then it came to the point where he really needed it. And so he came, and the missionaries were able to teach him, and everyone reached out to him and loved him and helped him. And it was so fun just to see the changes he made and how excited he was when he was baptized, and then how excited he was when he received the priesthood, mm-hmm. and how thrilled he was to be able to pass the sacrament.
Yeah.
And from there to receive a church calling and to grow in that. And recently he received the Melchizedek priesthood and was a little nervous but so excited about that. And we still stay in touch with him and with so many others. But just to see that growth and to see how they catch on to what the gospel is all about and how all of us, as we serve in the gospel and as we're active, we can continue to grow and find potential there we didn't know existed, and really, again, understand who we are, that we have the potential to become like God.
Yeah.
That was something a lot of people fought against and made fun of in the mission, those outside the church. But I testify it's true that we can become like our Heavenly Father, and to see just a little bit of that process is amazing.
And Father's work is about growing his children.
Mm-hmm. It is. I interviewed a man for baptism in the Tulsa East Stake, and he had been in the service, and he was a grandpa, and he was raising his grandchildren. And he told me a very interesting story that I think would see mm-hmm. how he grew as he joined the church. He said that he, in the military, he kept the law of chastity. And so he said, I drank and I smoked, but I did not have any problems with chastity in my life. I decided to keep myself clean. And he had been married like 3 times, but his daughter and son, they were on drugs and anyway. And so he was raising their kids. And one of the kids was sexually assaulted, and they blamed him. And this child had like 3 different kinds of diseases. They arrested him and put him in jail. And they tested him, but he had none of these. And so they realized he couldn't be the person. And he told me that that the gospel was just going to help him even go further. And as he was baptized in the Tulsa East Stake, he received a calling to just even to greet and to they took him to the temple. And last time I heard, he's still going to church and he's still growing in his life. He's happier and he's going to be a great impact in starting to bring those grandkids to church. And so it's a whole family. He's hopefully going to turn around something that, you know, if he hadn't joined the church, his family would have been without hope.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's part of that great miracle.
Yeah, it is.
This is Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. I'm Tim Taggart. We're joined today in the studio with President Kent and Sister Joyce Seal, who have been serving in the Tulsa, Oklahoma mission. What advice would you give to the young man and the sisters that are contemplating a mission call and what they should be doing to help prepare themselves to serve a mission?
I'll let Sister Seal start.
Okay. I found it is so important that we just do the little things, whether we're preparing for a mission or just living life, that we read our scriptures every day and that we say our prayers every day and that we go to church every Sunday and that we attend the temple. For missionaries now, a big thing, a wonderful thing, is to study, preach my gospel. Mm-hmm. Such an amazing manual. So helpful. And again, it's for everyone, not just for missionaries. But those are a few ways they can prepare themselves. And if they can just realize who they are and not get caught up in the world and think that they have to be part of all the things that are going on that take them away from Heavenly Father, those are just a few things that really help them towards preparing for a mission.
That's a big difference.
I love President Monson when he said when he was a mission president, he liked the Idaho farm boys who knew how to get up on their own and go out and work hard. And so I think that making sure that you have the ability to discipline yourself, to get to bed on time, to get up on time, keep yourself physically fit, as well as spiritually fit, and learn how to work so it's not new. Something else that is a challenge with some missionaries, we talked about fear. Sometimes missionaries, all they do is text these before they come out. They don't talk to people. Mm-hmm. They text. And you need to learn how to get some social skills, to learn how to express yourself, how to interact with people, and just start a conversation. Just mm-hmm. Some of our missionaries just, well, I don't know what to say. And I said, well, you could just be at Walmart, where the missionaries always shopped on preparation day. And as you're by the bananas, you can say, boy, I love bananas on cereal, don't you? And just start a conversation with someone. And then let them know why you're there. Just say, you know, I left my family. I left those I love to come and share with you something that means so much to me. And just talk sincerely with people. So learn how to just talk with people. And, of course, continue to give service. The church, through the Young Women's Program and through the Duty to God program for young men, there's opportunities to do things. But even doing that, I think, is just having the right positive mental attitude as well. A mission will be what you make it mm-hmm. to be.
Yeah.
You're set apart as a missionary, but unless you're willing to pay the price, it's like anything else. You're not going to get the A. You're not going to play on the first team unless you are willing to pay the price. With our missionaries, we tried to have a little acronym. We used it from Bronco Mendenhall, because I'm a BYU football fan. My wife came up with the name of Hasted Attitude. And the H stood for honoring our covenants and commitments. The A was accountability and attitude, because attitude is a choice. S stood for spirit and smile, because I'm a dentist. And 2 Nephi 9:39 says to be spiritually minded is life eternal, and that's smile. So you want to be spiritually minded. Avoid these R-rated things and these mature games. You don't let Satan put those thoughts into your mind to start with. Try to be careful of those things. The T King is a tradition. In our mission, Elder Bednar was a stake president, and Rogers, and that included Springdale and Fort Smith at one time. Mm-hmm. And he gave a great talk about making sure that we are quick to observe. And that means to be obedient, but also to pay attention to the people around you. We went to a baptism once of a 10-year-old in Rogers, Arkansas, and the little girl had a tattered shirt and jeans with holes. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, now, where was the bishop's Relief Society and Relief Society president, my missionaries? Why didn't you make sure she had a nice dress to wear to her baptism? Yeah. So it's being aware of others, not just thinking of yourself.
Yeah.
And the E stood for effort, giving your best effort every day. And D was discipline. Discipline yourself to follow the handbook and follow, preach my gospel. So just if before your mission you could have that hasted attitude, you're just going to be far and above and be that much better prepared to share the gospel.
That's great counsel, great advice, and definitely worth following. Thank you. Well, this has been Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. We're so grateful for the opportunity that we've had for President Kent and Sister Joyce Seal to be with us today. Perhaps as we conclude, Sister Seal, you could share your testimony with us, and then President Seal, if you would.
Thank you.
I would love to. I know that Jesus Christ is our Savior, and that He loves us, and that the atonement works. I know that Heavenly Father is a very personal God, that He's the Father of our spirits, and that He listens to our prayers and is so aware of us. I found that over and over again. It's amazing how, with all the children He has, He watches over all of us and blesses our lives in the ways we need. And I love Him. I know Joseph Smith was a prophet. I know he saw our Heavenly Father and our Savior Jesus Christ. And I know that he was the one who was called before the world ever was created to bring the gospel back to a world that was finally ready to receive it. And it's so wonderful to see that as it takes place. We loved our mission, loved seeing that happen, seeing people who wanted to know the truth. And I am so grateful for Joseph Smith for doing that, for being willing to ultimately give his life for that. And I know today President Monson is a prophet. I've always felt that it's a huge blessing to be able to have a prophet to lead us. And I'm excited when they give us counsel and ask us to do something, because I know if we do it, we're doing what Heavenly Father wants us to do, and we'll be happy. So I'm grateful for that. I know the church is true. I know the Book of Mormon is true. That was a wonderful thing. I've always loved the Book of Mormon. It was so wonderful to be in the Bible Belt and to show people that we had another witness of Jesus Christ, and that it went hand in hand with the Bible, and that you could read it and literally know as you prayed about it that it was true. And we saw how that changed people's lives. We tell them, and I know this to be true, that a prophet in the Book of Mormon has promised that you can read and that you can know the truthfulness of the Book of Mormon. And over again, we saw people take that challenge and find for themselves that it was true. But I testify of those things, and I'm so grateful to be a member of the church and so grateful for the opportunity to serve the mission that we did. We'll go again and again and again because of the love we have for our Savior and for the gospel. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I could say ditto. Let me just start that I've always had a testimony of the gospel since I was a child. It began when I was 6 years old in primary, and I remember hearing the first vision, and the Spirit bore witness to me then that Joseph Smith actually saw God in Jesus Christ, and I've never doubted that. And it was such a great opportunity to testify of that without any doubt to someone, anybody, whenever, because that the Spirit made that very clear to me. I knew that something like that had to occur because I knew there had been an apostasy. I love reading in the New Testament because the New Testament basically is writings from prophets of God to members of the church, asking them why they are falling away. And so I am grateful that the Lord made things and got the world in such a condition that the church could be restored without falling apart and everybody being killed, even though many were killed and they had to suffer much. I'm grateful, as my wife said, about for the power of the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon is truly a great instrument in the lives of missionaries. We found that as our missionaries would teach principles from the Book of Mormon first and then use the Bible to support what was taught in the Book of Mormon, that we saw baptisms increase. Because being in the Bible Belt, everybody was familiar with the Bible and they all disagreed on what the Bible said. But when they understood that the Book of Mormon was a second witness and it made it more clear, For example, 2 Nephi 29, verse 8, I remember a man told me that he was baptized because of that verse. And I could go on and on. But I'm grateful for the Book of Mormon in my own life and still try to read it every day in my own life. I'm thankful also for living prophets. That's the thing I miss a lot, is that twice a year I got to listen to these great men that would come in a mission president seminar and testify. And you cannot be around those men and not know that it's true. And so I'm thankful for their sacrifices and for what they do to help me and my family. Words can't express how I feel about my Savior. The atonement is real. I've been fortunate to use the atonement in my life to be forgiven when many mistakes have been made. I've seen the atonement work in my children's lives. I've seen it work in many members of my ward and stake and on our mission. And I'm thankful that God is a loving God who loves us. And because of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and his atonement and following the plan and doing the will of the Father, that we have the potential of returning to live in the presence of our Father in heaven. And I'm thankful for that and for him. And I'm thankful for the Savior. I used to tell the missionaries, I don't understand how the atonement works, but I know it does. And I testify that it does because I've seen it and felt it in my own life. I hope and pray that if anyone is listening that is not a member of the church, they'll get on their knees and follow the counsel in Moroni 10, 3 through 5. Because I promise you that if you have that sincere heart and just want to know, that God will tell you that the Book of Mormon is the Word of God and testifies of Christ, which means that Joseph Smith was a prophet, which means that the church has been restored and we have living prophets today. I'm also thankful for temples and for the opportunity to be sealed to my sweetheart. It was a great privilege to serve with her, and I have grown to love her even more for what she's done for me and for my family. She sacrificed a lot for many years while I was gone to meetings and she was home with all the children. And it was nice to serve with her. And anyway, I love her as well. And I testify that these things are true in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. This is Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. We're so grateful to have had President Kent and Sister Joyce Seal, who have recently returned from the Oklahoma Tulsa Mission. I'm your host, Tim Tigard.
You have been listening to Into All the World.